absolutely wonderful. It was so lovely to be able to come into the sanctuary and hear you all singing together and led by an amazing, amazing singer. So thank you so much for that this morning. Today, welcome to those who are here in person, online, our podcast, and sermon by phone. I know we do have some birthday announcements for today. One of our birthday boys is not with us. He's on holidays, but I know they're going to be watching. Ray O'Brien. So everyone wave. Ray has a birthday today. Today is his birthday, so we'll wave. And I also know that we had a birthday earlier in March, and no one said a word, but she was ratted out last week. Pat Miller. There you are. Raise your hand. There you go. Mrs. Miller. She was my grade 5 teacher. I always tease everybody because I was very shy and said very little of anything in school until grade 5, and I met Mrs. Miller. Mrs. Miller gave me the confidence to join school choir and drama, so if you are upset that I found my voice, you can blame Mrs. Miller, because she helped me find my voice. And celebrating a birthday as well is Barb Franker, right there. Barb, raise your hands tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. Are there any other birthdays? No one's saying anything. I'll find out if there is. For those who are celebrating the birthday at home, we wish you a happy birthday as well. And let us sing Happy Birthday, Dear Friends.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
When we come to this place, we come to claim sanctuary, time together. There's an energy that we begin the first part of our week with by being in community together and worshiping. With deep gratitude and respect, Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Ibiguit, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. At the beginning of every service, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us. And it's a commissioning for us to take that light out into the world, knowing that when we do, this world will change. It'll become a place of kindness and love, of inclusion, support, a place where we can live freely and without fear. All glorious gods. Amen.
Joyful to be near.
Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletins and on the screen. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous.
And shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Please be seated. Our gathering prayer is from 2 Corinthians, and we will share in this peace together. Please join me. Gracious God, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Amen. And a Christian family, let us join our voices and pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For those who are in junior church, ages 3 to 15, the helpers, the leaders, anyone visiting with us that would like to come forward, ages 3 to 15, are welcome to come up front. Yes. Oh, and we have directions this morning over here for today, over in this side for today. So if everyone wants to come over there, I'll go over there too. I'll come follow you. Over here. Welcome. There you go, Rain. Awesome. Wonderful. So what I have here, they're called nesting dolls. Has anybody ever had a nesting doll? Do you know what a nesting doll is? Oh, you kind of do. Okay, what's a nesting doll? So if I take this one apart, there is? Okay. Can you take that one out? So, oh, what happened? Oh, so that one is that size, and this one is this size. Okay.
So like it goes tinier and tinier.
And you have to match? Okay, you tinier and tinier. Well, is this?
Yeah, there's more inside.
There's more inside. Caitlin, is there another one inside there? Oh, we'll put that one back together. Okay. All right. Let's put that. There's another one. Okay, so this must be it, right? This is it?
No.
No?
No.
Can you open that one? Oh, 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 that always, okay, this has to be it. This is it, right? This one's it, right?
No.
What?
No. No.
What? It's not it. Okay. You put the, I mean, oh,
it's not it.
There's another one? Okay. Oh, that has to be it.
Yep, it's it.
It's it. So in the nesting dolls, they keep, so they're bigger, and then they keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller until you're down to your last one that there, it's the smallest. So this one here is Jesus. Okay. And this one here looks like a, what is that one? What do you think that one is?
A king.
A king. Okay, so we have to put baby Jesus back in here because that's a king. What's the next one?
It looks like a king again.
A king again, okay.
Another king.
We three kings, okay. So who else is this there? This is obviously an epiphany one. Who do you think that is? Mary, do you think?
Mary.
Okay, that one's Mary. Okay, and then who do you think the biggest one is? If this one's Mary... Joseph, okay, I heard Joseph, okay. But they all nest into one another so that when I do get Joseph opened and put this in here, they become together, right? In our story today, we're going to hear about a son who says, I'm done with the family. I'm done with what's going on, and I'm just going to go out there and do my own thing. He gets into some trouble. But he realizes that he can come and nest back home. And that his father brings him back in and says, there is a place for you. Just like these nesting dolls, there's a place for you. Just like this church is supposed to be a place for you, for everyone. That when we come back, we can nest and find rest and find peace. And we fit back in. So let us hear that story that Caitlin's going to share with us about the prodigal son.
The prodigal son. Jesus spent time with all sorts of people, even people who had done bad things. This made some people mad. Why is Jesus always around people who do bad things? They grumbled. Jesus heard them, so he told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son, who was a bit wild and crazy, came to his father and said, Dad, I want to get away from here. I want my money. This made the father sad, but he split his money and gave his son the part that was his. The younger son packed his bag and headed away from home. The son traveled to a faraway country and spent all his money on fancy parties and food. Soon, he had no more money and no place to stay. Lucky for him, he found a man who let him sleep in the barn if the son fed the pigs. What am I thinking? He said to himself as he fed the pigs. The man who worked for my father have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. I'll go home and say to my father, Dad, I made a big mistake. I'm not good enough to be your son, but would you let me work for you? So he went home. While he was still far away from his house, his father saw him. His father ran and threw his arms around him. The father put a ring on his son's finger and shoes on his feet and ordered for a party to be thrown for him. The older son saw his father's servants preparing for the party and asked, What's going on? Your brother is home, said a servant, and your father is having a party. This made the older brother angry at his father. I've always done what's right, he said to his father. I've worked hard for you, but you never gave me a party. Now my brother come home, and after he wasted your money, why are you throwing him a party? My son, you have always been with me, but your brother left and has now come back. Then the people understood. Jesus spent time with those people because even though they had done bad things, they decided to change their lives and live like God wanted. This made Jesus so happy.
Thank you, Caitlin. And we're going to hear a song today that Louise is going to share with us.
Yes, I thought you folks can help me with this because there's some great actions and everybody out there can do it. It says, Jesus came bringing us hope. And Jesus came bringing us hope. Jesus came bringing us hope. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. So when we hear Jesus or say the word, we're going to do this. So you're going to point your finger to this palm and then this palm. Jesus, so back and forth. Can you help me? Jesus came towards you, bringing us hope. Cross your fingers. Jesus came bringing us hope. Jesus came bringing us hope. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. And then we're going to do a second verse. Same words, except not hope. We're going to say peace. Everybody knows that one? So Jesus came bringing us peace. Then the third verse is Jesus came bringing us love. What do you think we should do for love? That's the one I thought of. I'm so smart. Love. Everybody make a heart. So Jesus came bringing us love. All right? So we have to really think about our fingers. And then the last one is joy. What should we do for joy? What can you do when you look at me that says you have joy? You just did it. Karen did a good one. We can do this, you can do this, or you can do this. That's up to everybody. Your joy, okay? Here we go from the beginning. I'll probably jump off here, choir, and folks, you'll be on your own. And Jesus came bringing us hope. Jesus came bringing us hope. Jesus came bringing us hope. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. And we're going to do peace. Jesus came bringing us peace. Jesus came bringing us peace. Jesus came bringing us peace. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore.
And this one's
Jesus came bringing us love. Jesus came bringing us love. Jesus came bringing us love. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore.
And Jesus came bringing us joy.
Jesus came bringing us joy. Jesus came bringing us joy. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore.
And thank you for helping me. Let's go out. You can go out now with Karen leading the way. We'll sing hope.
Jesus came bringing us hope.
Hi, guys.
Jesus came bringing us hope. Jesus came bringing us hope. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore.
Joy.
The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the Passover. I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, so that that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and roasted grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year."
Please be seated. And please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last weekend, I went on a quest to find interior pictures of the Epworth Hall. A congregant was wondering if any such pictures even existed, and I said, "Well, if they do, I know where they would be, in our archives here at Trinity." Now, for those newer to Trinity, like me, 6 years is still relatively new, the Epworth Hall was a building located where the parking lot is. It was what I would call the activity place of Trinity, where teachings and social time, events, get-togethers would all take place. Activities that our current Strong Memorial Auditorium would house now. But in its heyday, the Epworth Hall was a hub of activity for those Trinity community of faith here in Summerside. So I started my quest to find those pictures by contacting our archivist. It's hard to say our archivist together, but I did, Elaine Burroughs, first contact, who directed me to, she knew. There's a little red book, she said, on this shelf over here by this desk on the right-hand side. She knew where I would find this little red book, stored in the archives, and the book is dated 1948. There I found interior pictures of the Epworth Hall. There was one, this is one of those that you'll see on the screen, and it captured my attention. The title of this picture is The Boys' Room. And here we see engaged, look how engaged they are, engaged young people being taught what appears to be a very important lesson. If you look closely on the blackboard, you will see what is being taught for the lesson of the day. Written in white chalk, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Instantly, I recognized those words as part of Scripture, but which one? My initial quest was complete, but from it, a new quest was revealed. I straightened my detective hat and off I went again, and in my research, I found out that this text is from the book of James, chapter 1. Verse 22. And in the King James Version, of course, 1948, it would be the King James Version, used on the blackboard, but there were missing words from the full King James Version. So I went further. What words were missing? And here's the full text. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Simply meaning, listening only to God's word is not enough. And if you think it is, you are deceiving yourself. As the book of James reminds us, we're called to act into the teachings of Jesus. This is not new to us as Christians. Jesus was very clear in his teachings that actions are to match. Our actions are to match. We must respond to the word. We can't just sit here week after week and listen, or just listen online and do nothing with what we're being taught. To just think, nothing more, then check, my job is done for the week. Off the to-do list, I went to church, I'm now a good person. My time with God is done for the week. Check. Step one, like these young men are doing in this picture, step one is to listen. That is a very important step. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with listening. It's step one. You being here, in person and online, that is very important, but it is just step one. The rest of the steps, like we talked about last week, are to act into those words of faith, into those teachings of Jesus. We explore them every single week here. To act into the teachings of our faith by being doers of the word and not just hearers. Today, we were introduced to another parable. And as I said last week, parables are a teaching technique that Jesus relied on greatly. A parable is a story where the hearers just see a little glimpse of how God and the kingdom of God functions. And in the social context in which Jesus shared parables, they would have been quite shocking and countercultural stories. Take, for example, the parable shared by Caitlin earlier, titled The Prodigal Son. The behavior of the prodigal son at the beginning of that story, when he asked his father for his inheritance, basically, in the culture of the time, was the son saying, "Dad, I want you dead. I want you dead, Dad, so that I can have the money that would be owed to me upon your death." That's what he's saying. And that would have been shocking and completely disrespectful. The son not only brought shame on the family by doing what he did, but would seem to never be welcomed back into that family fold again, would never fit back into those nesting dolls again. His actions were to the core disrespectful and not honoring at all. His father would owe him nothing, nothing to this son after what had transpired. Yet the father, in the parable, acts in a very countercultural way. He not only gives his son the inheritance to go off and do what he must, can you imagine the hurt that would have caused the father in being put in that situation? But then the father, he joyfully accepts the son back with open arms, running to that son who basically said, "I want you as good as dead, Dad." And this father forgives his son to his own very core. The hearers of this parable, the hearers would have been shocked by this entire story. Some of us might be even shocked today within our own modern culture. But Jesus says, this story, this parable, this is what the love of God is like for each of us. This is how God loves us, each of us. The Father running to his child to welcome them back. That is the image that Jesus paints today in the parable. The words, promises, teachings that are of God are of love. And they are more than just things that we hear or things that we say. They are things that we do. We are to live our faith. We are to do our faith. And this reality is again lifted up later in the book of James in chapter 2, verse 26. We are told, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." To have faith and keep it alive, we must work it. We're going to be believers, if we're going to be believers in this faith, if we're going to take the time and sit here or listen online about this faith, if we're going to just show up here and listen to the words of the Christian faith, we must act into the teachings we have come here to listen to, knowing that God is always with us and is always ready for us to come walking back in the lane or back through those doors, or for those worshiping online by clicking on the YouTube link each and every week, and then living into those teachings of God. That's our call. You will be welcomed every single time back with open arms, even if it's a little five-year-old giving you a bulletin and making sure you get a bulletin. And this Christian teaching, like the ones we come to hear every week, is a commissioning for us. That commissioning is our responsibility every single moment of every single day to live into our faith. And that takes us to the book of Joshua and the scripture shared by Kevin this morning. From the manna that comes from God, the wisdom that provides us with knowledge, comes the works of our labor. And now we must till the ground and prepare to plant. What a perfect lesson for this time of year. We must do something with the manna, the knowledge, the wisdom. God provides the manna, the provisions, because God cares for us. So now we must break the soil and get to work. Just as the Israelites prepared to leave the desert, and now they are transitioning within a new beginning, we too must take all of our experiences, all of the teachings, and live them forward. The Israelites left their past identities of slaves in Egypt. They left that behind, realizing that with God, there is a whole newness in this world. You see, manna is more than physical flakes on the ground from heaven. It is a reminder of an all-caring God who provides us with spiritual nourishment. But we must be ready to pick up the spoon to feed our own very souls. We are no longer in the desert, and now the work of the promised land begins. And that's why what you're doing here each and every week is important. Each week is a time for us to come together and to listen and to take those teachings out into the world. It's not a one-time bam fix. We are in relationship with our faith. We are in relationship with God, with one another. Being Christian is more than just a ritual like baptism or communion. Being Christian is more than that. It is living into those commitments of those sacraments and walking with God. And that's not always easy. But I know what makes it even a little bit easier. Reminding ourselves again and again that we are called to do just that. We continue to equip ourselves each and every week to do just that. We explore how we can do just that by just coming here, by being in community and hearing the word so that we can respond, makes this call as Christians easier. Together, not alone, we journey through Lent and then we make it to Easter. Every single time. Our mission as Christians is to be doers of the word. We are to be a place where those who feel lost can find a place that welcomes everyone with open arms and with great rejoicing. We are to fit within those nesting dolls and to find a place of rest. Oh, what love. What love is this? All glorious gods. Amen.
Good morning. In India, social and cultural factors limit access to theological education for women in comparison to men. The Reverend B. Sipa Rani is actively encouraging women to pursue theological education and engage in leadership roles. When Sipa started her first degree in theology, she spent 2 years as the only woman in a class of 16. Now, years later, as she works on her doctoral dissertation, she has seen a gradual increase in the enrollment of women in theological programs. While this is encouraging, Sipa recognizes that there is still a long journey forward. While she seeks to empower modern women, she is also working to shed light on the experiences of women and minorities of the past. Sipa was the recipient of a theological education scholarship, which paved her way to join the faculty at Bishop's College, Kolkata. She has been exploring the unique identity of the Qumran community within the context of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Qumran is a community of Jewish people who cared for the scrolls, and Sipa is actively researching to identify the women, children, and minority groups of the society, drawing parallels between the Qumran context and contemporary Indian content. Your mission and service gifts provide support to leaders like Sipa, who are actively working to empower women and change the world.
Thank you, Pat, and the Faith in Action team, who always reminds us of how we can bring our faith out into the world and how we can respond to our community. Today, there's many ways in which we can respond to the needs of the community, and one of the ways is we recognize time and talent and those resources that people offer in order for us to be the ministry of this church out into the world. And so as we do that, we have the symbolism of the offering plate. So as Bill brings the offering plate forward, I ask those who are able to please rise, and we will say a blessing, a prayer over the offering. Friends, please join me in prayer. Then let us pray. Gracious God, we bring our gifts, bless them and us. We pray that the gifts received here today aid in the betterment of this world, that love is revealed, nourishment offered, and healing initiated. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please join me in prayer. And let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts to receive. Open our minds so that we can respond, knowing you are never far from us. We come to you in this time of prayer to offer our cares and our concerns. We know that through prayer, we can change our responses and be transformed. We pray for healing. We pray that through our actions, light and love prevail. Loving God, help us to foster the good in this world. This is a time when we are reminded that loving our neighbor needs to be our daily focus. Help us to be in a place where we stand with those who feel alone, that we actively listen, we support, and we offer comfort. For those in our world who are suffering, let us be a witness of needed change and not turn our faces away. Help us not ignore, but instead be present. Holy God, we pray for the people of this world. We pray for those in places of power to walk and act in hope. We pray for all governments around the world that they have the courage to speak up, to face what is corrupt, to challenge it and say no more. Help us to not lose sight of what builds us up and turn away from things that maliciously tear us apart. Help us to be in a place where we offer nurture, welcome. Help us to grow. Be our guide. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for sharing in our service, whether in person, on live stream, podcast, or sermon by phone. We thank all those behind the scenes that make these services possible in their various forms. Next Sunday, the service will be led by our United Church women, as Reverend Rachel is on a study leave from April 2nd to the 6th. During that time, for pastoral emergencies, please contact Reverend Elaine Palmer Harding, and her contact information is in the bulletin. Also next Sunday here at Trinity at 2:30 p.m., the Men of the Harvest concert is here, which is under the guidance of Hospice PEI. Tickets will be available at the door. The Lost Coin Survey. So the hymn we sang, The Lost Coin, this song is part of a course that Reverend Rachel is taking, and it is to introduce new music to our congregation. So we need to some way of assessing how this went. So there is going to be a survey. So in your bulletin, there is a paper printed one. If you're more techie and want to go online, there's an address you can go to, or if even the Supreme Tech, their QR code is also on the bulletin that you can access to do the SurveyMonkey. If you're looking for a place to donate your loose change, at each entrance you'll find a bucket for the loose change weekly until Easter Sunday. We aim to raise at least $1,500, and so far we've reached $634.65. So let's watch it grow. The Lenten Luncheon this Friday is sponsored by the Summerside Christian Council and will be held at St. Mary's Anglican Church, with the service commencing at 11:30 and a light lunch to follow. Did you know that Trinity's weekly sermon is available to listen to on your phone? You can call a toll-free number, it's in the bulletin, and the recording is about 15 minutes long and is updated each Sunday evening. For additional information, check the bulletin. On June 8th, we will have a special service celebrating 100 years as the United Church of Canada. Please mark it on your calendar. Do you know anyone who was baptized, confirmed, transferred their membership in or out of Trinity, were married here, or are now attending other churches, and you'd like to invite them? Please do. Reverend Rachel's dream is that the church is so full we need chairs at the back. On Thursday at the Trinity Council meeting, we received a request, which was approved by the Atlantic School of Theology, Trinity's lay advisory team, and Reverend Rachel has agreed to continue supervising. The request was received from Karina Anderson, who to have Trinity as her learning site for her year two of her pathway to ordained ministry. Council approved unanimously. For additional information on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work in the community, the bulletin and the Lenten newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website trinitysummerside.ca. Have a great week.
Thank you all for being here today and to being in this place and being more than a check mark off your list. Allow those words to go and transform your world. The world needs transformation. We do that one person at a time. So as you leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen.